Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Good morning to you. 909 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Thanks for tuning in. Mello is with me as well. Always a pleasure to see Mello. Hi, Mello.
Good morning.
Doing all right?
Oh, yeah.
Mello, we're going to talk in a minute about a story she told me just a little while ago. I say story as if it's not true, but it's a tale. Hard to believe, actually. And, you know, in the hard to believe category, we now have the latest murders in the state of Utah happen right here. Well, maybe not true. There was actually a couple was found dead in American Fork yesterday. This trans person, Mia, I guess she goes by, murdered her parents and tried to murder her brother, who got behind a locked door and was fortunately not shot, but he shot through the door. And just the fact that when they interviewed him, and so I have a little bit of special insight because my wife works at the city, that's where they did the interviewing, and I think this was Wednesday, yeah, because it was Juneteenth is the day it happened. And the city offices were actually closed. And so that's why my wife knew about all the interviewing and stuff going on, because she had to make sure that they had access to what they needed because the buildings were closed normally. So, but the lack of remorse shown by this person.
I heard about that. He said he would do it again.
I would do it again.
Or they said they would do it again.
I hate them. Yeah.
He wouldn't have been sad if they shot their brother.
It's interesting. So my wife actually asked the prosecutor who was in on the interviews. So this person who legally changed his name to Mia, but we don't know how far along they got in the sex change process.
The top half was full. It looked like from the pictures.
Yeah, I learned this from Ace Ventura Pet Detective. You can do that kind of operation in a weekend and be over it pretty quickly. The other one is a little bit more serious, the reassignment of genitals and things like that. She said she asked the prosecutor, which jail would this person go to, the men's or the women's jail? And the prosecutor says, well, I know the answer to this question, and I cannot tell you.
Okay, I did hear there was some stuff on St. George word of mouth about that.
Okay.
And they had said whatever.
And by the way, little caveat asterisk before we quote St. George word of mouth, they have been wildly inaccurate on a lot of things. So.
Okay, then I won't even say what they said. But somebody, there was a recommendation on there if you want to go look it up for yourself.
Somebody actually said that the mom in this case that was murdered was pregnant. She was 69 years old. I guarantee you she was not pregnant.
Oh, they're just salaciousness there.
Yeah. So, where do we go with this as far as the community, Mello? I mean, you're out there on the streets as a realtor selling houses. This is the kind of thing that not only does it give St. George a black mark, but it affects every industry, including the realty industry. There's going to be people that are going to come to you and say, hey, wasn't there just a murder in this neighborhood or in this town or in this area?
Yeah.
And you have to try to explain to them, you know, what happened.
I know. I think there's a deeper issue here with the murder, because I think that they're just with the reassignment of the gender and things like that, I think there were other things mentally going on with this person. Mm-hmm. And maybe their parents weren't as accepting, and so that's where the hatred...
We're speculating. We don't know.
I don't know. I've just been trying to process it.
One thing my wife brought up, which I think is a very salient point and has not been talked about much, is... So they took, as a male, as a born male, you have testosterone flowing through. Women have testosterone too, by the way, but it's a very small amount compared to men. You go from this natural testosterone, they mute that testosterone, and they start giving you man-made estrogen to make you into a woman.
It's not woman-made estrogen?
No, it's chemically made.
Okay,
it's not natural. Anyway, the swing in hormones. Now, you know, I mean, we joke about it, right, sometimes, but, you know, the PMS and my wife went through, you know, menopause and then where your body then stops producing these chemicals, these hormones, and she said it's a real thing. You you experience emotions that you know aren't, they're not really you.
Right. It's a wild ride.
Yeah. It's not, we can joke about it all I want, but it's real. It's mm-hmm. it's a reality. And she said, imagine now you've got a young person who is confused about life and maybe has some mental problems, and then you mess up their hormones. You totally jack up their hormones. Imagine the mood swings going through this person. And I am in no way excusing, by the way, what this Bailey person did. But
no, that's imagine, a really good point.
Yeah. Imagine what's going on there. My wife, it's funny, I said, yeah, there were times where I thought about murder when I was, you know, PMSing or going through menopause. I'm like, wait a minute. Did you want to kill me? She's like, no, not you. And I'm like, yeah. Who else did she want to kill? No, but seriously, the hormone swing, the way it affects your moods and your mental outlook on life, it's real.
Right. Yeah. That person must have been really. That's just such an extreme thing to do to your own parents. I can't imagine.
Well, and then. You can almost say, well, in the heat of a moment, it's not excusable, but at least understandable that we had this big argument and I was angry and I got my gun out of my car, whatever. No, this was premeditated.
Mm-hmm.
She came down from, they had been living up north. They came down and planned this whole thing out. And, you know, the accounts are there on you know, KSL everywhere that she walked in the door and immediately started shooting. There was no argument. There was no, it no. was, I plan on killing my parents, period. And then like you said, the lack of remorse. Mm-hmm. I do it again. I hate them.
I know. It's so sad.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. They should have finished their surgery first, probably.
I have a couple of questions about it though. So this all happened Tuesday evening, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the person went missing in the dark, in the middle of the night, right? So they put kind of warnings out and everything. They located this person around 7 a.m. The arrest wasn't made until around 10:15 a.m. One of the accounts said they lost sight of this suspect.
Mm-hmm.
During that time, right. And they finally had the suspect surrounded about 9:15. So they had like an hour of negotiation because this Bailey person was threatening self-harm, was threatening to kill himself. So they had an hour of negotiation. So I'm not questioning that part of it. But what about between 7:15 and 9:15? Where was the suspect? Did they know where the suspect was the whole time? Did they let them get away on purpose? Were they tailing them? Did they actually lose sight of them, as in they didn't know where they were? Because that then brings into question, well, here's an armed person who's already committed murder in our community. Where were they?
I don't know. I heard that this person was like going into the ravines and hiding, and went into like the public restrooms at the park and was hiding. And
yeah, I apparently like got some sleep in one of the public restrooms. Mm-hmm. Is what one of the accounts said. But yeah, just a scary thing. And I didn't know about it until I got up at, you know, like 4:30 on Wednesday morning is when I first found out about it. And then we, of course, went into full press mode to try to figure out what was happening and everything. But it was definitely, police would argue and say, no, there was no threat to the community. But you have a person who has committed murder on the loose in our community for 12 to 15 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That's a threat to the community, I think.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
I did see one, and not to make light of a serious situation, but one person posted online, you know that one meme of the Muppet character that's looking straight ahead and then looks sideways at the camera?
Yes.
And said, that feeling you get when you realize you have to drive your yellow Kia Soul to work this morning. Because that was the same kind of car that the suspect
had. It was bright yellow, too.
Now, there was another incident, Mello, you were telling me about right here in southern Utah. So we're not talking about San Diego or Sacramento or, you know, Miami or New York. We're talking about right here in southern Utah. Can you explain what a friend of yours, and we're not going to use her name, obviously, but what a friend of yours experienced?
Okay, there was this gal, and she was waiting for her place to be ready. And so she rented an Airbnb. Can I say the city?
Sure.
Okay, in Hurricane. So she rented an Airbnb.
She rented an Airbnb in Hurricane. So she's actually a local, mm-hmm. but her house wasn't ready yet. So she rented an Airbnb to spend some time until her place was ready.
Right, just for a few weeks.
Okay.
And the host came in and was talking to her. He's like, oh my gosh, this water is gross here. So here's some bottles of water. So just drink this instead.
Okay, so you rented the place. The host, the owner of the home that you're renting, comes in and says, I don't think you should drink the tap water. Here's a bottle of water for you.
Mm-hmm.
Or many or whatever. Okay. Right. And so, what happened next?
So she drinks it, and then she starts to feel a little funny, and it incapacitated her.
Oh, no.
Right. And so then she was assaulted, essentially.
Sexually assaulted.
Right. But she doesn't have any recollection of it because she's incapacitated. So a couple of days later, like...
No, wait, before we go, sexually assaulted, do you mean she was raped?
Yes.
She literally was raped.
Right.
Okay.
So then a couple of days later, she's like getting these memories back and kind of processing what had happened and figuring it all out, putting all the pieces together.
Hmm.
And so she goes and gets a rape kit and tells what happened, and the person gets arrested. And then I don't know that they were able to get any of the DNA because she'd already showered.
If a couple days later,
between,
yeah,
right?
Makes sense, yeah.
But they had ended up arresting him, and then a new prosecutor got put in, and there's not enough evidence to keep him. So
it turned, without any evidence, it turns into a he said, she said kind of a thing, and,
yeah.
And they won't convict on
right.
that.
And she's just so worried about other women that may be put in that situation. So
well,
just,
if you think about it, could that have been the very first time this person did that? Probably not, right?
No, I think you'd get pretty... He sounded... that's a pretty brazen thing to do.
Yeah. Wow.
Period. It just kind of breaks my heart, honestly.
Yeah, that is... And that happened, not like I said, not in Sacramento or L.A.
Mm-hmm.
or Houston, Texas, or New York or Miami. Mm-hmm. This happened in Hurricane, Utah.
Yeah, so I just think you just really need to be careful about drinks. And even, like, anywhere, people can spike, just drop something in your drink and then walk you right on out of there. And you just need to be super vigilant and careful. And it's a sad place we live that's accessible to people to put in your drinks.
You could make a case, okay, well, she should have been more vigilant about what she drank. Was the water bottle sealed at the time?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you can make all kinds of arguments that way, but there's still no excuse for what happened to her.
No.
But I guess it should serve at least as a cautionary tale of us to be careful what we drink. To
mm-hmm.
if someone does give us a water bottle, make sure it's a sealed water bottle from the company. You know, women and being alone is a tough. I know it's sad, and my wife kind of gets on my case a little bit because I'm a little bit paranoid about her being alone. But that's a reality, right?
It is, and I'm very independent, and I like to do a lot of things. Solo, you know.
So well, you're just a realtor. Do you show home to men by yourself?
Yes, but we have this app as realtors, and it's mm-hmm. called Forewarn. And so before we go with somebody we don't know, we're able to run their information through and get like a little mini background check.
Mm.
So we know if this guy has 30 felonies, then I'm probably not going to get in the car with him.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I'm going to meet him there, and I'm going to have somebody else meet me with him. And now we have more protections now because we have the buyer broker ahead of time. So we have like information and IDs and things like that we know who the person is.
My wife is essentially the landlord of a couple of properties owned by Washington City. So that kind of falls under her duties working for the city in helping to rent these properties, to these houses, to people. And there have been a couple of times where they asked her to come show them the house. And at least once it was just a male, one guy and her. And I was like, look, you got to make sure someone else goes with you. I don't feel good about this at all. And she's like, oh, you're so paranoid. And I'm like, maybe a little, but maybe not, too.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when we hear stories about, like, what happened to your friend out in Hurricane.
Yeah. I mean, I did have one situation as a realtor where I had this guy. I had advertised my property on Facebook Marketplace. And so this guy had reached out to me that he wanted to see the property. And I'm the listing agent, so I need to show the property for my client, even if it's not my client. So he just sounded a little younger than should be in this 55 and older community. So, like, my red flag went up there. I'm like, are you over 55? Yes. I'm like, have you spoken to a lender? He's like, this is cash. So he's like, just subverting all of my questions mm-hmm. that would give me more information about him. Mm-hmm. So I told him I would meet him over there, but I didn't have a good feeling, so I brought my husband. And
it's good for you.
And it's a good thing I did, because when I got over there, I was waiting for him. I'm like, are you coming or not? And he's like, I love you. I'm like, oh, no, you don't get to talk to me like that, and you don't get to tell me you love me. So I'm sorry, you're going to have to find somebody else to show you the house. And then he kept calling me, are you there? Are you there? And he kept texting me. And
that is creepy.
So I called the cops. I just had to tell him, don't contact me anymore. And then blocked him, and then he kind of went away, luckily. But it was scary. I don't like that feeling.
No, not at all. A couple of things from our website, and thank you for sharing with us, by the way, Mello. I appreciate it. I have a friend, Jeremy Larkin. Everybody knows him, you know, big-time realtor here in town, and he tells me one time he went, this was back during the collapse, kind of the rough time in 2008, right? And he was working for a company that basically foreclosure company. Mm. And he said he went to this house that they were going to foreclose on, and he couldn't get in the front door, but he was able to get the garage door open. So he went in the garage, and right in the middle of the garage floor was a huge pool of what looked like blood.
Oh.
And he's starting to freak out a little bit at this point. He's like, what is going on? He mustered up his courage and went inside, and he went into the living room, and in the middle of the room were, he described it as dozens of wigs. Dozens of wigs, and he didn't know they were human hair, they were fake, what they were. So he's like, okay, we got this empty house, there's blood in the garage, and there's wigs in the living room. And he, well, no pun intended, wigged out and got out of there.
Oh, I would too.
Came back with some associates, and it turns out the quote unquote blood was, there was meat in the deep freeze, and they had, when the power had been turned off because they weren't paying, the meat kind of did what meat does, and it got warm, and the blood leaked onto the, not even, I don't think it's really blood,
it's
or whatever.
It starts with a C, I don't remember what
meat
it's
meat juice, whatever, got all over the floor. And then he said they never really did explain why there were a bunch of wigs, but they were not real human hair wigs in the living room. But
he said
for a little while he thought he had stumbled onto a serial killer type scene.
No, the worst is when you go into a house and there's somebody in the house that's not expecting you. That's the worst.
That's true. Yeah.
One time I went in and there were renters living in there. So the owners had given me the codes to the door because they had different locks, like on the doors. There were multiple people living in there. So I went in to open up all the windows and make sure all the lights were on. And I like do the door code to go in, and I look straight ahead, and there's like a man's pair of boots and pants. And I'm like, that's odd. And I go to walk in and open the windows, and I turn to the left. Luckily, he'd closed the door. The shower was on.
Oh, no.
And the guy was in the shower. I ran so fast.
Yeah, get out of there in a hurry. All right, a couple of developments in St. Georgia. LAX is now open. And now I say now. It's actually the first flights are in September, but our airport for a long time had LA connections, and for a long time now, like 5 years or something, has not. But now you can fly right out of SGU, St. George Regional Airport, to Dallas-Fort Worth, to Phoenix, to Denver, to Salt Lake, and now Los Angeles.
I love that.
That's pretty cool.
Yes.
So, and if you, I know it costs a lot more, and you really have to weigh the expense versus the, you know, convenience. But if you ever fly out of St. George Airport, you're never going to want to fly out of anywhere else again.
It's
it is so,
so
nice. Yeah.
I love it. Even to go up to Salt Lake and then catch a connection up Salt Lake, too, is nice.
It's really nice. Now you can catch a connection from L.A. You can go to Singapore and Japan. Well, not China, but, points east, the Philippines, Hawaii, of course. So, that's pretty cool.
We're
connected.
We're growing.
To LA. Yeah, that's really cool. All right, I have a story. Do I have time? Yeah, I'm going to tell this quick story, and then we'll get Mello's comments after we take the break. So in 1983, I was 17 years old. And I got pulled over on the freeway. I was going 69 miles per hour in a, back then it was 55.
Mm-hmm.
69 and a 55. 14 over. I think he wrote it down to 9 over, but I still had to pay. Back then it was $50, I think, or something like that. And it went on my driving record. I got a couple more tickets over the next year or so, and to the point where I had to pay to go to a traffic class so that the ticket wouldn't go on my record. So, and that was like an early Saturday morning, and it cost money. It actually cost more than the ticket to attend the class, plus you had to spend like 4 hours on a Saturday morning at this class. And so I am not telling you this story to give you an excuse. I was a dumb kid with a lead foot, and I understand I deserved the ticket. But in Maryland this past week, the governor of Maryland... First of all, they just barely legalized marijuana. The governor of Maryland has decided that over 175,000 marijuana convictions in Maryland have been pardoned and overturned over the last few years.
Wow.
He says, look, it's legal now, so we're just going to go ahead. If you have a marijuana conviction in the last few years, we're just going to wipe it away.
Well, there you go.
And so it got me to thinking, well, you know, the speed limit in Salt Lake Valley right now is 70. I was going 69. Now, I know in 1983 it was 55, but if they're going to change the rule, I want my money back. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I spent all morning on a Saturday plus money for the class. I spent money for the ticket. It seems like to me, if we're going to start retroactively doing these kinds of things, then shouldn't I get my money back for my tickets and my traffic classes? I'm just saying, if that's how it's going to be, then let's go there. We'll get Mello's reaction in just a minute. Right now, we're going to check in with weather.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
9:34 on KDXU. Welcome back. I'm Andy. Mello Finlinson is here as well. And we want to talk for a second about Thrive Drip Spa out in Santa Clara and their red light or full body light therapy. Mello went and had the red light therapy. Tell me about it.
It was really awesome and actually really relaxing. Okay. So it's just like a big tanning bed, it looks like.
So you strip down to your almost nothings?
No, to your nothings. Anything you have on will penetrate.
Wait, what? Nothing?
It's a birthday suit kind of day.
You get in naked? Yeah. I'm glad I sent you and didn't go myself, because I don't know that I could have done that.
You're welcome to keep anything on you'd like.
Okay.
But the light doesn't penetrate clothing.
Okay.
So you lay in the bed, and then as soon as you're ready and you're laying in the bed, there's a little button you click that's right by you, and then they'll turn on the bed.
So is your head in this, like your whole body, including your head, is inside this thing?
Yeah,
or
it's
how
kind of like
work?
A casket, like where you close,
really?
Like, and you close it.
I don't
it
think
down
that's a good comparison.
Well, no, but it like closes on top of you, like a tanning bed.
Okay.
A tanning bed.
Well, I've never been in one of those either, but I'll take your word for it.
Okay. So then you lay in it, and what I did is I just turned on like a meditation, like some soothing music, so I could just kind of relax. Okay.
Not AC/DC or anything, just something mellow.
I was very mellow.
Mellow.
You could put AC/DC on.
Mellow yellow. Yeah.
So you lay in the bed, and then it's got like streams of red light that just are underneath you and on top of you and all around you.
Really?
And then you just close your eyes and just relax, and it's awesome. It's 15 minutes, so it's not a terribly long time.
Okay.
And then you get out, and then I did it twice this week. I went on Wednesday and then yesterday.
So you've already been twice. Wow.
Yeah, they recommend about 3 times a week when you're starting, just like get the full effects of it.
I know this is a stupid hang-up of mine, but you're talking naked. And so do you have your own little room then, and there's no other people around? And
you have your own room.
And what is the surface that you're putting your naked body on?
It's like glass. It's like a plastic, just plastic with the lights coming through
it. Is it comfortable or is it?
It's a flat bed. There's a little like plastic, clear plastic thing for you to rest your head, so your neck is kind of elevated, kind of like a pillow, but not soft like a pillow. And you just lay in it, and then the lights penetrate, and it's supposed to regenerate or revitalize your cells, so they all kind of regenerate. I've had some dull, aching pain in my right ankle for months, and I don't know what it's from. And it actually feels better. It's not 100% yet. And then they were also telling me about this other gal that went in that had, like, chronic pain, like pain. And she was on pain medications. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, after, like, 4 or 5 months, she's completely off of her pain medications.
Wow.
So it helps with inflammation. It can help with weight loss. It can help with just, there's just a myriad of different things that the red light therapy helps with.
This is right from their flyer. Theralight 360 Plus Full Body Light Therapy helps not only reduce pain and inflammation, but to deliver therapeutic effects toward the symptoms associated with arthritis, tendinopathies, nerve pain, soft tissue recovery, sleep disturbances, low energy levels, poor circulation, musculoskeletal pain, and I have a lot of that with the back surgeries, stress and anxiety, and many other conditions. Yeah. So you're saying it helped you?
It did help me. Okay. Yeah, I'm going back on Monday, and then I'm probably going to get a membership and go back. And then I also got a vitamin B shot because
B12, yeah.
B12. And I was zooming. I was like, oh, this is amazing. I loved it.
Now, we're not just talking about this because, you know, we like it, although Mello does like it. We also have a couple of passes to give away to what caller number do you want?
Let's do 3 and 5.
Caller.
Or three.
Well, yeah, just three because they're two passes. But we want you to go with someone, right? You don't want to go all by yourself, right? That's why we're giving away.
Yeah, that'd be
giving away two. So you go with someone. They get their room. You get your room, and you meet outside afterward. It is at for Thrive Drip Spa, 3687 Pioneer Parkway, Suite 1. You get three, not one, but you get three complimentary red light therapy bed sessions. Just give us a call right now at 673-5890. And ignore what I said. I know I was like a little paranoid, a little nervous about it all, but this will be really, really cool. And Mello is answering the phone right now. Again, if you want to go to Thrive Drip Spa and experience Theralight 360 Plus, give us a call right now, 673-5890. And it looks like all the phone lines are lit up. So we got the message out there. Ignore me and my weird hang up about being naked in public or whatever. It'll be fine. You'll have your own room and you won't be in front of anybody and anything like that. Okay. While she fields the phone calls, a couple of things I wanted to talk about. First of all, the monolith is back. You know that, I don't know, it's not even that big, maybe 10 feet tall metal slab that appeared in the desert in southern Utah. It's appeared in several other places over the last few months. Let's see, one in Pine Mountain near Atascadero, California. There we go. One near Albuquerque, New Mexico. One appeared in Romania. And one, of course, here in southern Utah. And the other day, they found one in the desert of near Las Vegas, in the mountains out surrounding Las Vegas. The Las Vegas Metro Police Department Search and Rescue texted this out. Mysterious monolith. We see a lot of weird things when people go hiking, like not being prepared for the weather, not bringing enough water. But check this out. Over the weekend, spotted this mysterious monolith near Gas Peak, north of the valley. The monolith is silver and shiny, and in fact, it's actually kind of easy to miss because of the reflective nature of it. But monolith in the desert. And oh, Mello's back. Mello, did we get a winner?
Yeah, her name is Kim, and she's excited, and I will have those tickets for her.
All right, Kim, go get Theralighted. Theralit. Mm-hmm. Go get Theralit.
Go get lit.
I like that. Yeah. Congratulations to Kim, and again, we'll have those passes for you here at the radio station. So, on this monolith out in the we'll talk about this for a second, and we'll go back to the speeding thing. On this monolith in the desert, there are people who say maybe it's aliens trying to tell us something. Maybe it's something more mysterious than just some dude took it out there, and. Evidence would suggest, because it's kind of out in the middle of nowhere, and all of them have been found kind of out in the middle of the desert or in the middle of the mountains, it would be really hard to put one of those in if you're just a regular person. And certainly you would need a group of you, at least two of you, to help carry it. I mean, these things are not small. They're like 10 feet tall. Mello, do you put any stock in the idea that it could be something beyond just a prankster?
So I missed it because I was taking the calls. But a monolith is just like a big rock, right? Like a big...
Well, it's metallic in nature in this case. All the ones they found in the kind of in the deserts have been these tall, about 10 feet tall monolith, metallic slabs, basically, standing on end.
Well, you know, I'm a conspiracy theorist at heart.
All right.
So I definitely think it's aliens.
Okay, but now take your tongue out of your cheek. Do you really believe that aliens did it?
I do believe it wasn't a prankster.
Okay.
So.
Most of the experts say they believe it was humans trying to prank people, but... maybe the most famous monolith of all is Devil's Tower in Wyoming. That was the famous. Remember that big giant rock monolith that was in? I mean, it was a mountain in Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
I didn't watch that.
Oh, you got to watch it. Mm. So the premise, and I might be getting it wrong, but because it's been 35-40 years since I saw it, but the premise of the movie was this guy kept getting these premonitions, and he would build, you know, his mashed potatoes into this great monolith, and he would build, you know, the Play-Doh or whatever. These things in his life were turned into this monolith, and then it was eventually the movie culminated with a big giant alien ship over Devil's Tower, and that's where he got to. I don't know. I think he went up into the alien ship at the end of the movie and on top of Devil's Tower. That movie, it's got to be, what, like in the early 80s maybe? So that movie's probably 40-plus years old. Back to the, and Mello's taking a phone call right now, so we're going to let her take the call for a minute, and I'll go back to the story. If you didn't hear it before the break, basically the idea was that I got a speeding ticket in an area in Salt Lake that is no longer, it's no longer speeding. And given the fact that a lot of lawmakers, including the whole state of Maryland, the governor of Maryland has basically swiped the record clean of anybody that got a marijuana conviction because marijuana is now legal in Maryland. And so the governor of Maryland says, look, if you've been convicted of any kind of marijuana crime, nonviolent crime in the last few years, we're just going to wipe that right off of your record. And so my argument is, look, if I got a speeding ticket for an area that's no longer, you know, it was 69 in a 70 zone. Back then it was 69 in a 55 zone. And so, you know, for me, my argument was, well, look, if I got a ticket for going less than what the speed limit is right now, shouldn't my ticket not be valid? And I kind of went through the whole deal. I had to pay for traffic class so I wouldn't lose my license. And so it cost me a lot of money. It cost me a lot of time. And so, so my whole argument was that if I got a ticket for something that is no longer against the law, should I get some money back? And Mello just laughed at me and laughed and laughed and laughed. And
isn't that like reparations for people that didn't even experience anything that actually happened? It's like so far back, like how many decades back?
I don't think we should pay a black person for slavery, right?
Right. But I mean, maybe if that ticket happened like a year ago and then they raised the speed limit, you'd have an argument. But I don't want to age you, but maybe like over a decade is too far back to go. That's ridiculous.
Well, I could go closer. I would say it was probably 10 years ago. I got a ticket in Orem for the same thing. It was a 55, maybe a 65 zone, but it is now much higher than that. I think it's 75 now. Mm. And I'm like, hey, look, you know, if you're going to change the law and people like in the governor of Maryland is going to say, well, we'll wipe your record clean. But I'm just saying, you know, maybe I should get some kind of...
I don't know. I think that those active cases of people that have judgments against them for drugs is just going to be relieving their system a little bit of all the extra stuff. That's already been done and gone. If you've already paid for your crime, then I think...
Picture, if you will, though. Mm-hmm. All right. Young man, 17, 18 years old. Instead of paying $100 for that traffic class, A friend of mine said, hey, I got this buddy, and his name is Steve Jobs, and he's looking for a $100 investment on his little company that he's starting. And I go, you know, I got this extra $100, since I didn't get a ticket because it wasn't illegal, and I sent it to Steve Jobs. And Steve Jobs, as most of you know, Steve Jobs formed the Apple Corporation, became a billionaire. So would I then not be a billionaire right now if I had, I mean, it's possible if I had that $100 back that I spent on that traffic. I'm just saying, I know it's a reach, but.
That is such a stretch. Wow. Wow. That is ridiculous.
All right.
I love it, though.
It's ridiculous. We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy, 952. Let's go to the phone lines. Richard, what's going on, man?
Hey, there? Andy.
Yeah, how you doing, man?
I got a couple of tickets. I wouldn't mind getting wiped off, too. But anyway, we're not talking about that.
Yeah.
Now, you had the mayor of Hurricane on yesterday.
Yes.
I really like that lady. She's sharp.
I agree. Yeah, sharp lady. Nanette Billings. And
she was talking, I'm assuming it was, about Celeste Malloy when she was quizzing her about the way she'd been voting, right?
Yeah.
On the abortion clinic funding and a few other things, plus spending us into who knows what debt we're into now. And how many people ask those hard questions? You know, we see all these ads, they can do this, and then I've heard her, she says she has all the support from the local big shots here. Why are they supporting her? It's how much money she can bring to the county, or what is that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, to me, honestly, this is how I feel about this race between Colby Jenkins and Celeste Malloy. I feel like both of them will make a great congressperson. I think Celeste has a job to finish, and she has a specialty. She's good at land use and water and a real knowledge of that kind of stuff. Colby, maybe not so much that area, but he has other expertise in areas where he will be really good. And so, to me, I don't think you can go wrong electing either one, but there are certainly people who, like you said, you're like, well, where is Celeste? Why are they endorsing her? Is there something we don't know? And I don't know. I can tell you this. I know people that have worked personally with Celeste, Jimmy Keston and Adam Snow and Michelle Randall when she was a county commissioner down here, a county lawyer rather down here. And they feel like she has good motives. She's actually a good person working hard. So there's that.
Well, I don't doubt that, but I want a budget POC. And I don't know if he fits that, you know, or Colby. Did you ever watch the debate between both of them?
I did, yes.
And he got her every time she was talking about spending money. And right now, that's my concern. You know, we're broke now, $35 trillion, and they're talking $50 trillion in the future.
And all I know about all that, Richard, is my paycheck keeps getting smaller and smaller with the money they're taking from me.
Yeah, and then they're talking about taxing our investment income or our real estate income.
Yeah.
So you got any? That scares the heck out of me, you know. I paid for my house. It's paid for now, and it's worth this. And are they going to put a tax on it? Yeah. Thank you very much.
In the meantime,
hey, have a good weekend.
All right, thank you, Richard.
Pork belly on the Traeger.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
That smells good.
Pork belly on the Traeger. I love it. Yeah. What am I going to smoke this weekend? I haven't decided yet. It might be shish kebab weekend, right?
Mm. Yeah. We have a pork butt in the freezer. I think I'll pull that out. That sounds good.
Yeah. You want me to smoke it for you?
If I can't get my husband to, yes.
Oh, you have a smoker at home?
Yeah, we do.
Okay. Make him do it then.
Yeah. I'll try.
You'll try. have you ever done a tri-tip, a reverse sear tri-tip?
No, that sounds fancy. Really
I've done in reverse sear steaks. Oh man, best steak I've ever had. I'm not going to hurt my arm, pat myself on the back, but I made a steak on my Yoder. I smoked it for, it was only like an hour and a half. And then I brought it inside and put this butter garlic mixture and kind of seared the outside of the steak on both sides really short, like a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was fantastic. So melt in your mouth.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah. Good stuff. Gosh, only got like 3.5 minutes left. I had a great story online. It is on intellectualtakeout.org, written by Jeff Minnick. The title is "How Did America Become a Nation of Slobs?" And you know, first of all, a couple of stories we're going to tell about it, but I wanted to mention. So I was brought, and I think a lot of people, my generation, maybe older, were, and maybe your generation too. There should be an expected amount of class. I don't know if class is the right word, decorum, whatever. When you go out in public, going out in public in holy pants and a bathrobe, or you know, just a bra, a sports bra on, or that's not classy. And I know there are no laws. You can go wherever you want in public, right? There are no laws. But, Mel, I think we've lost our way. And a lot of people, in taking the, this is America, I have the freedom to do what I want, I think a lot of people have gone, well, that means that I'm going to be a slob.
Oh, my gosh. I saw two teenagers, like teenagers who could look really cute, walking down the street the other day in their slippers. They literally had slippers walking down the sidewalk, like from a store.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
Wow. Those
slippers are not made to walk outside, right. by the way.
It's hot.
Yeah,
it's hot outside. Don't you want your feet to be cool, like in flip-flops?
Yeah. I just, you know, I think my daughters are get mad at me. Not so much now that they moved out, but when they lived in my house, you know the trend, the holy jeans, right?
I like holy jeans.
The pre-ripped jeans. I know. I'm just going to say this was my policy. I said, look, when you're buying your own clothes and you're in your own house, you can wear as many holy jeans as you want. But as long as you're in my house and you're, you know, I'm buying the clothes mostly, there will be no holy jeans here.
Could they wear holy jeans on Sunday?
No. The other kind of holy God. I just was like, look, you know, where I, growing up, if you had holes in your pants, that meant you were poor. That means you didn't have any class. That means you were, and now they've got these jeans that they're more hole than pants.
I know. It's true. I don't buy them as often as I used to when they were more trendy, but I do still like the rugged look of them, I suppose.
I guarantee you, you can go to any Walmart in the county at midnight, and you will see someone in a bathrobe.
Or pajama bottom.
Or pajamas.
Right.
I guarantee it.
What's the difference between that and Target? Because you don't see that as often in Target. Why is there such a differential?
Don't get me started on Target.
Oh, that's true.
I have a story. My son was trying to get his Eagle Scout, and they said, we don't support the Boy Scouts because this was back before the Boy Scouts allowed gay, you know, membership. And we don't support the Boy Scouts because they don't accept gays. And they would not get, every other store in town gave my son a little bit of money or a little bit of supplies to help with his Eagle Scout project. Target said, no, we don't do that.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'm an anti-Target person.
There you go. That's fair.
So, I don't know. I just think that somewhere along the way we lost that idea that we represent our family name. And when we go out in public, there should be at least a minimum amount of decorum that should be expected. It's not a law, and people are going to say, oh, you're being an old curmudgeon or whatever. But I think, Mello, I think that there should be at least a little bit of effort to be classy, a little bit. Just a little.
Just like jeans and a t-shirt at least, right?
Yeah. We've used up the time. Mello, you're fantastic. Thank you for coming on
today.
Appreciate it. Congratulations to Kim for winning, and thanks for listening. We'll be back on Monday.